Welcome everyone to this beginning gathering of TAD Talks. It's a new venture for our Sangha. And I just want to introduce you a little bit to what the topic, what the title is about, TAD Talks. And TAD, you know, it kind of means small, a tad, a piece, a little bit of. So in a way, this is a TAD talk. It's a smaller talk of part of a larger conversation. These are topics that are much bigger than we could ever talk about here, and we hope that the conversation will carry on forward. This is just the beginning of something, just like the radical personalism was the beginning of a conversation in which bigger conversations came out of that. So the same way about TAD Talks, these are just a small piece, a tad, just a little bit of much larger conversations that should be and could be had in our community. So, and then to TAD also is short for Tadatmya, which is about belongingness and coming together with like-hearted and like-minded souls organically and naturally, not out of a force kind of thing, or not out of a necessity to fit in, but out of a discovery that we actually belong together out of this likeness. And then TAD is also an acronym for Toward Authentic Dialogue. And that is our hope. That is our hope here. That this captures the mission to foster deep and meaningful conversations, not just chit chat or things that actually are substantial to people. And it's done in a casual way, in an authentic way. Nobody here is striving for perfection, thank God, because I wouldn't be able to sit here. And we're just real people discussing real things, how they really mean to us. And we're hoping that the conversation will extend to not just the three. We are two co-hosts and a guest, and that's how the structure will be. And but we're also hoping that people who join in will also be able to participate in the conversation as well. And Yugla Kishore, do you have something that you would like to add to the meaning of TAD Talks?
Yeah, sure. You know, I was reflecting on it over the last few weeks since you first brought the idea forth and had discussed it with Swami Padmanabha. And it made me think, what are we trying to do here? You know, why are we recording and streaming to YouTube what may seem like a sort of informal conversation? But the nature of Tadatmya Sangha, from what I've seen, is that we are a sort of virtual Sangha. We are a global devotional alliance, striving to become more like each other and like our gurus. TAD Talks is a way for us to continue our satsangs that we have with Swami, that we have personally with each other, and bring that forth, put that forth for everybody to participate in. So I'm definitely honored to be here with you all, with Bhakti Rasa and our guest for today, Manjuali Devi Dasi.
Yeah, thanks for that, Yugal. And Manjuali, actually, as our guest, she also is part of the creation of the TAD Talks, because she was initially invited to give a presentation, but she didn't have the time. Who has the time for that, to study, to prepare for an hour-long presentation? So we're hoping that these TAD Talks will open up the opportunity for different guests to be able to come on that wouldn't normally be able to come on and give a presentation, so we can hear more voices, have more voices come and join the conversation. So with that, I would like to officially welcome our dear guest, Manjuali. And she'll be speaking today about seeing the hand of God in our life. And I have a short bio that I've been provided with to share with you in case you don't have the fortune of knowing Manjwali. So Manjwali Devadasi began practicing Bhakti Yoga in 1971. Some of you here were not even born yet. I was 10 years old. After she met Krishna devotees in Chicago, she was initiated by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada in May of 1972 in Los Angeles. She and her husband, late Jayatirtha Das, were sent to England to manage the Bhaktivedanta Manor and the UK Yatra in 1976 by Srila Prabhupada. After Jayatirtha accepted the renounced order in 1980, Manjwali and her young son served in California and in India. Returning to the UK, Manjwali worked for many years as the media librarian for a national newspaper in London. And later, Manjwali moved to the southwest of the UK and worked in the field of psychotherapy and counseling for an educational awarding body, producing training films and other educational materials. Manjwali is a Bhakti Yoga practitioner, serving her lordships in her home ashram. She is active in her interfaith dialogue, environmental and social causes in her community. So thank you for all of that, Manjwali. Thank you for bringing yourself into the world as you do. So
Thank you. And it's a privilege to be here to share a little bit with you today. So, where do we start? You asked me a question and
So, well, you brought this topic to the table, seeing God's hand in everything. So I would assume that in your multi-decade life of devotional practice, you've been able to witness this many times within your own life. So first you can maybe explain what you mean by seeing the hand of God, and then perhaps sharing a few of those times when you have felt that the presence of God within your own life, what that has meant to you, what it looked like, what it felt like.
Oh, thank you. This is a big one, and actually something that's really dear to my heart is witnessing a presence that is a gift. And that present, all often I was reflecting, the darkest moments when you're going through a huge, huge challenge, where you just are, you have to dig so deep inside and pray, and there's a little reciprocation that comes, and a little aha, that actually you're not alone, that there is a beneficent, wonderful, divine being that actually absolutely loves you and is holding you in your suffering, is holding you in a very tender moment. And then I was thinking, well, those moments are, gifts, and help us to get through our darkness. But actually, the hand of the God is always there. It's not just in acute moments. And I think the task as practitioners and as aspiring sadhakas on the path is to actually find that in the hand of God in our day-to-day affairs. And that is something that is not easy to do, because our minds, our situations become, are always, there's always a job to do, there's always somebody to interface with, there's a project, there's and how in the messiness of life do we see the hand of divinity and actually pause in that moment and give gratitude? So that is actually when I was thinking, oh, Oh, there is the moment when he took sannyas, and I had to kind of dig deep and just surrender and say, okay, Srila Prabhupada, I belong to you, be with me. And actually, everything I say today, I just honor my Guru Maharaj, Srila Prabhupada, who is, after 52 years, still has me, and I still have a relationship. And that relationship and the relationship of my different Shiksha gurus actually guides me in my desire to be of service to our beloved Lord and our Master. The hand of God is something that actually, it's words, but how do those words manifest individually for each one of us? We're all individuals. It's not one set pack. You do this, and there you have, that connection, that magic is there. It is for me. It is that I have to work on it, like we do for everything. If you're training for something, you have to do the work. And the work is to rise early and do our japa. Japa is actually which underpins my life and actually is the foundation of why I'm here. Because japa time and actually having that discipline of actually doing it. And I know in the work years, it was pretty when you're doing your job and you're a mother and this and that, japa is, a few schnoz, and just kind of trying to kind of get, your required amount done so you don't, so you don't drop, and fall into, and lose the taste. So, but as you get older and when you don't have so many pressures, actually to take shelter of japa has been a huge gift for me. And it is an opportunity to just dive into that ocean and allow the holy name to enter in to us. To enter into our heart and to, and there's a wonderful meditation, the cave of the heart is called the Guha. And in the cave of the heart, there's an altar where our Ishtadeva is invited along with our guru. And we sit there and we chant our japa with presence and with prayer. And that is a moment when the hand of the Lord, if we're blessed in that moment, and we don't demand the Lord to show, but we sit and wait and listen. And I found that that listening and sitting and waiting has been a huge gift in my life to strengthen my faith, but also to challenge me. Because to hold presence is not easy, because the mind is flickering. It says in the Gita, it's racing about and like the horses. So to tether the mind on the name and to sit with the name is one of the opportunities to welcome the divine closer and to actually develop that relationship, because bhakti and is radically personal. And we have an opportunity to journey with the holy name. So that is one of the things that I wanted to share with you today, was that the holy name is an invitation. It's a practice, but also as we chant the holy name and as we journey with the holy name, and allow the holy name to course through our whole cellular system as well. And it actually is helps us to see Krishna's hand and helps us to really appreciate Srila Prabhupada, because Prabhupada's gift to us was the holy name. We were just young girls when we came, and just, and we were looking for a purpose and meaning in life. And Prabhupada had this little, had the holy name, which was portable. We serve on the temple, we create the beautiful altar decorations, we go out on Sankirtan and sing, and we distribute the holy books. But actually, to sit and honor the name and invite the name to actually come closer and to reveal herself, his self, is a practice that actually is one of the moments when the hand of the Lord is present now. And we learn that actually we all have backstories, and these backstories, and the hand of the Lord when in a difficult situation, like when my husband took sannyas, that was challenging. I was only 32 years old, and I had to really, really take shelter of Srila Prabhupada and know that actually we come to the path of bhakti as we come in quest for love, for service, for meaning, for purpose, for
Yes.
to make our life meaningful, to dedicate ourselves. And so I just and yeah.
We're looking
So
for that
yeah,
artha
you
thing.
get you come in. I'm just having a little monologue here. We're
Yeah,
supposed to
no,
be speaking together.
thank you. Yeah, we're looking for that artha, right? But it's something that's like maybe paramartha, that higher, that transcendental purpose. Of course, one of Prabhupada's highly used words.
Transcendental purpose, yes.
Transcendental, anyway, yes.
Transcendental definitely was a word, because we were quite mundane, so we had a offset mundane with transcendental, didn't we?
So I really appreciate a lot of. Did you have a question you were going to ask me?
Go on, bird.
No, please.
Okay. I appreciate so many of the things that you said, Manjuali, and how our journey is so individualized. And there's so many things that I could pick out with what you were saying, the relationship, seeing the hand in Sri Nam. But one thing that really jumped out at me also while you were speaking was how you were talking about how it's not necessary that we have to find the Lord in crisis, but also in the beautiful moments, in the ordinary moments of our life. And although I'd say for most of us, until we're able to know what that feels like, most of us require a crisis. For those walls to come crumbling down and to be stripped away of the things, the false things that we accept as shelter, where we place ourselves instead of connecting to the to Sri Nam, or connecting to God, the presence of God. We connect to these other things, and sometimes it takes that crisis. That's what a crisis means. It's to be stripped of those false shelters, but it doesn't require that. There comes a point where we can, where potentially every moment could be a crisis. Every moment could be a stripping down and a stripping away of things that are not really us, and allow us to end open to the presence of God. So I was wondering if you could also kind of maybe expand upon that also, the finding God in the beauty and the simple
Yeah, well, you hold a new baby and you look at the little face of the baby, and what do you see? Just beauty and love, humanity and its innocence and in its freshness and in its dependency. Or you look at a beautiful sunset. And I know when I was a new devotee, they said, oh, don't look at a beautiful sunset because you have to come back to the material world to enjoy sunsets. Rusangi will remember that one. But we just look at a sunset and you just go, oh, it's so beautiful. This is a creation of the divine. You
The
know, or you
all.
look at a beautiful flower, or you hear a piece of music that's so exquisite, or a
Yes.
piece of poetry, and you
Yes.
go, oh, that is so beautiful. Oh, I can see
Manjuali.
the hand of the Lord in
Yeah.
that.
It
I'd
has to
like
be
to
God. It has to be God.
I wanna I wanna
It has to be.
I wanna offer up a distinction. And there's some warning there, right? About, oh, don't get too attached, maybe, to what we see as beautiful in the ephemeral world. And the distinction that I kind of had this realization many, many years ago. I was in a friend's house and I was looking at a beautiful piece of art on the wall. And I was a young man, and I had when I saw it, I had the urge to possess it. And that scared me in some way. And I thought, why is it that I have to have this for myself instead of appreciate it? So there's maybe some distinction there between possession or attachment and simple appreciation. And I'll just say one more thing. I'm a little bit of a word nerd, as some of us are. And the root of appreciation, precere, is actually means to pray. So we
Precarious.
see something beautiful and it should cause us to go into prayer, maybe more so than greed or lust or some insecurity, some negative reaction.
Yeah, I can really appreciate that because when we look at a sunset, obviously we can't own it. We can own that moment in time and just allow it to bathe us with its beauty and actually see the hand of the Lord there. But
The painter.
or paint it, yes. But actually, really, it's about ownership and, putting our, that actually we have to see that we come in with nothing and we leave with nothing. So we have to be really mindful about what will make our hearts sing and what is not necessary. And that's part of being a practitioner is to be mindful of it's wonderful to have. I have some beautiful paintings, that prints that I've had for 50, 40 years, that I've carried around with me that bring me joy. But I can see that actually, if I have to leave, I have to give everything away ultimately as well. So it's just about understanding that the temporal nature of this realm and that we are really passing through here and that actually what we really need for our own joy is not a lot of material possessions. And if we have a few that make our hearts sing and help us remember Krishna or whatever, it's not the end of the world. But ultimately, simplicity. Srila Prabhupada taught us simplicity. And he taught us to be mindful of not being a huge collector, but use everything we can use in Krishna's service, that wonderful word dovetail. So you have what you have and you can use it. But also, I think it's so easy to become attached to things. And things ultimately are here to help us to do our service. And yes, maybe they bring us some joy, but ultimately we have to let go of things. So we have to be mindful of our relationship with material energy and how that relationship needs to be discerning. Yeah. And that's how, yeah. And I've got a whole house full of stuff. You can see all my books behind me.
I appreciate, as much as I appreciate what you're saying, I also think there's another side also of where there, if we do know that we don't have to reject things. And I think the danger comes in when we use things to define us. When we put our sense of self, define our sense of self from the objects around us, when we define our sense of self even from the people around us.
Or when we deny the sense of self in those quote unquote things, because ultimately, isn't everything in with held within the hands of God?
Because
Everything
it's got
infused.
energy, doesn't it?
So it's almost a question of objectification, of ourselves, Bhakti Rasa, as I think you're saying, and I always hear your discriminating voice saying, "Look within, look within," and that the reflection of do we how do we objectify ourselves? How do we objectify others or things and see them as mere possessions, something to hold on to and control instead of open up those hands.
So the more we can identify ourselves as a beloved of God, then everything we see will be in relationship to that identity, as opposed to trying to create our identity from those things that we see. But first come to the core self and go out from there, then everything can really be an offering, not
Yeah,
just
I
a giving.
absolutely agree with you, Bhakti Rasa. That is actually, yeah, because it's all the stuff, if it's used in Krishna's service or if it's, yeah, it's our relationship to see Krishna in our environment as well, and the things that we have, we can use in that service. Yeah, I absolutely agree with you.
Yeah,
Good
because we
point.
don't want to be, we don't want to cheat. We're not looking to
No.
cheat, we're looking to be sincere. But at the same time, I think there has been a tendency historically to think that service to Krishna means something in the temple or
No.
something that's directly one of the nine processes of bhakti. But it's much more than that. It's every single thing that we do can actually be a service if we are centered on the self as a beloved of God, and then come from there. So I think we haven't gotten that fully yet in our community. I certainly haven't gotten it even a smidge, but I've been opened to the idea of it and hold it as a potential.
And that's why our homes are our temples. I mean, I only lived 15 years in ashram or in a
Only.
well, yeah. Out of the 52 years, only, and the
That's
rest,
more than 50% of that standard ashram time, right?
15
Brahmacharini or
years
whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, in
That's pretty
86,
good. That's pretty good.
I went to work in 86, and yeah, and I've just in my home is my deities are upstairs in their little room, and yeah, so it's just, I absolutely agree though that it's not the stuff, it's our relationship with whatever is here, and to see, yeah, to see Krishna's, he gives us what we need in order to do our piece of work in incarnation. But also, it's just being mindful that, or that's what I try to do. Do I need it? Do I need it? Do I really, really need it? Do I love it? Do I love it? Do I really, really love it? Can I live without it? Can I live without it? Can I, so I have a like a
Awesome.
little mantra I run when but also, we just have to be mindful that we're all different too. Some people need more stuff than others, And but ultimately, I guess because I'm in my late 70s now, yeah, I'm just looking to keep it simple, because I don't want to leave a mess behind as well,
Yeah, I've thought about
So
that.
I just want to, and I think there's something rich in simplicity in my, for me, more stuff, more worry, keep it simple. And that just works for me. But
That's a really powerful reflection in itself, not to leave a mess behind. There seems to be something ethical in that. There's some sort of duty suggested in that statement.
yeah, because I just want to keep it simple and give, I'm giving things away already, just 'cause it's, things that I don't need, because and I give you whatever we receive with love, and then we pass it on with love. So that's, we're trying to carbon footprint, yes, keep simple life. Yeah, it's just being mindful of the material energy and how it can be distracting as well, So it material energy helps us to do our service, but also it can be distracting. So we just be mindful. I think mindfulness is important, as Swedish death cleaning. Yeah, we always are clearing. I'm always clearing stuff, Take it to the charity shop, It's done. It's put it out with love, and keep simple.
I think it does what you were mentioning also, Yugala, is a tie in with intergenerational things, like what we hand down to the next generation. Are we going to hand down our mess, our unfinished business, or are we going to hand down our healing? Are we going to hand down the things that have been healed? Yes, so we don't become a burden on the next generation, and they have to deal with
All
our
our
mess.
mess and clean up and stuff. Just have it really simple. My mother, I just remember going, and I have a couple of little things that she put my name on the bottom of it. She said, I came to visit once. I lived in England. She was in Chicago. And she said, oh, now just choose whatever you want. And there was a pink vase. It was my great grandmother's or something. And it has my name on the bottom of it. And I was just thinking, yeah, I just was looking at that vase thinking, yeah, I came down the female line for my family. And now, it was always in the house, and it was just something that was, and it'll go on to someone else, like everything here, but it'll go with appreciation, and its beauty will give someone else joy. And I think that's, in everything we just pass on with joy and not make a mess. Okay.
Wanted to field a question that Rasangi put in the chat. She says here, to deny ourselves what we may want could also be seen as self-abnegation. And maybe I don't know if anyone has a thought about that, what she might mean by self-abnegation, how that relates to denying ourselves certain things. Any ideas there?
Sridhar Maharaj spoke about self-abnegation. It was one of his powerful words that he said. And self-abnegation, in my understanding, was that we're doing something that, what was it? I can't remember the exact. Self-abnegation, yes, we're giving something up, but what is the reason we're giving it up for?
Exactly.
And so the reason we give stuff up is because we, or at least this is how I approach it. I give stuff up because I like to have simplicity, actually, and that get, makes me joyful. When there's too much stuff, I find it distracting.
So
So
you're
for
so
me, it's
More than
not a.
giving things up, it's about accepting simplicity more than giving things up for you. Not
Yeah,
giving things
it's
up
about
for
accepting
everything.
simplicity because the sim and You'll see everything. There's quite a bit of stuff. I've been 26 years in this house, so there's, you got quite a lot of stuff that, but it's useful stuff and it's in service. And
Duali.
it's our relationship with stuff that
Yeah.
can distract us, but we're back to the hand of the Lord in the stuff. Okay. There's a wonderful picture over there I can't show you of Govardhan Hill because I worship Govardhan for the last 40 years. And he's my beloved, So I have a little shrine in the kitchen over here where I have this beautiful picture of Govardhan that I found in a charity shop, can you believe?
Wow.
And that was the hand of the
That's
Lord.
great.
And so I have this lovely little place, where I do my offering in the kitchen, and then the guys are upstairs, So we just, every one of us has a way to negotiate to remember in our own little world. And it's creative. We all have our pens, our palettes, and our pieces of paper, and we draw our the things that actually make our hearts sing. And I think at this time in life, we want heart to sing as well, in our service. We want it. It's not a burden. It's a wonder. And it's a joy, and to find the wonder and the joy in your day-to-day practice, that is actually a gift, a hand of the Lord. To find joy and to actually take it deeper. And taking it deeper is just ask Krishna to inspire you what he wants, and or you meet somebody on the street and you just share spontaneously something, and you just see it's like the divine meeting the divine, and you have a little communication and they go away and you just think, oh, Krishna just sent some love, and I've been able to meet somebody and share just a little nugget that they could go away with a smile on their face and something to think about. And that's the hand of the Lord as well. The hand of the Lord is not just, oh my God, this happened 50 years ago. The hand of the Lord is, a practice and an opportunity to engage with the mystery. Because we're all on this mystery tour, aren't we? And
Yeah.
that's why we're hanging out here, because we're trying to understand, and this is an eternal journey. So how do we, and I believe we're practicing for the spiritual world as well. In this realm, we will move into another vibrational frequency and move to another place in another incarnation. But this is a practice place to actually learn some skills that will help us to move forward and will help bring joy into our lives and spread the joy. And that is not just a sentimental, I don't say that sentimentally, but I say it as an act of service. Because Srila Prabhupada, when we came into his presence, he was an absolute shining personality. And just not even saying anything, but just being in the frequency field, and Rasangi will understand this too. We were just blessed just by being in presence. And that presence isn't just there, 47 years ago,
I
he's gone.
felt his presence too.
But his presence is accessible to all of us, yeah? Every day. All we have to do is ask and be open to it. And that's the magic. That's the miracle. And that is actually the gift of divinity upon us and the hand of the God, hand of God.
Yeah. Speaking hand of God, I saw your hand up. Did you want to?
Oh,
You had mentioned something to me also about experiencing Srila Prabhupada.
Yes,
Yeah.
I did.
Yeah, share.
Oh no, just I think how do we continue to experience Srila Prabhupada, not just as a static thing? I know Swami Padmanabha has asked this question. Is Prabhupada merely a some collection of all of his words ever uttered, all of his actions ever performed? Is a person, not just Prabhupada, but is a person, reducible to their output, you might say? Or how do we see that, like, there's something more subtle there, I guess. Is it, and what is that? What is that more subtle thing? What is that divine spark, I think you were saying, and then how that gets passed on, that Shakti and that magic gets passed on to the student from the teacher, right? Isn't that how it becomes a living parampara? So not keeping Prabhupada static, even though I never met him in the biological flesh, I feel as if I have met him through his the family he created. Because as you're describing your personal experience with him, I'm envisioning the first monk I met and how he beamed with light and energy, and that's the living Prabhupada.
Absolutely. Prabhupada is, for me, I'm a prayer person. So if, I go to the place of just pausing and I go to the place of prayer and I have a dialogue with him, and he does actually answer our prayers. He does answer our prayers because Prabhupada's Shakti Vaishavatar of Nityananda Prabhu, Sridhar Maharaj said, when I was there in the darshan, I heard it. And he said, and I just went, oh my gosh. He said, how else could he have come to the West and done the miracle he had done? So these beings like Srila Prabhupada and Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati are actually through prayer and through a deep desire to actually welcome them into our hearts and just listen. Miracles happen. But
Would
it's
you?
just, it begins with the asking. I think asking is for me, because we have to become open to, or I have to become open to believing. And when we get a reciprocation, our faith is strengthened. And then we can go deeper again. Yeah. So it's like we're at the threshold of a door looking in. And feeling usually we don't belong in that space, but we just go there and we say, Srila Prabhupada, please, help me in a particular, to understand you, to meet you, to love you, and really just sh give me a sign if it's if it is your will, if it is for my highest good, yeah. I ask for my highest good and the highest good of all beings. And then I sit there and I wait.
We have a similar
And,
prayer.
some days, we get a little closer, and some days, it's not. But that's okay. It's not like on time limit. We're just in an act of discovery. And this act of discovery is a living dance. And we just, like this is a new thing, three of us speaking together. So we have new things, new ways to approach Krishna, new creative opportunities. And I remember Srila Prabhupada, Jamuna told me once, Jamuna, our god sister, and she said, Prabhupada said, Radharani is always making tasteful opportunities, tasteful arrangements. That was the word, tasteful arrangements. And
Right.
then you think, oh, tasteful arrangements. Okay, so that's the land of Raj, is tasteful arrangements. Yeah. So tasteful arrangements is relationship. And it's exchange. Yeah.
And I would say also, with what we're speaking about, tasteful arrangements is the hand of God in our life. That's,
Absolutely.
and again, that GP, the example of the GPS, where the next tasteful arrangement is always coming, depending upon the last distasteful choice that we've made. So,
And you know, we all make mistakes and we all kind of drop balls. And you know, it's just the nature of this place. You know, we're kind of polishing the stone, you know, and we're trying to, and that's part of our learning is to actually, sometimes the choices we make aren't for our highest good. And we pay the price, you know, but we learn and we learn and we pray and we don't lose our faith. It's so easy to lose faith if things don't go the way we, you know, we envision they have to go. So it's how do we keep our faith strong? And one of the most important things for me in keeping faith strong is hanging out with those who have strong faith. Yeah. And that's why the Sangha is so important because we hold each other and help each other to and we call each other too. And you know, we're not when we're kind of going off in left field, you know, getting lost or something, we help each other with love to say, "Oi, is that such a great idea?" You know, and that's actually an important part of community is kind of our helping us in our own checks and balances to be discerning and to be mindful of the pitfalls,
and
which
that's,
are always there.
I was wondering if you also saw Sangha, each other, and our guardians as the hand of God reaching into our life.
Absolutely, absolutely. The divine works through each other. And the divine is everywhere, but to actually witness the divine in our community and through the instructions we receive, through the you know, through the joy and laughter too, that is the hand of God, you know. The material world is a challenging place, and every one of us have our dark nights of the soul that we've had to deal with and continue to deal with in different aspects of our life, different challenges in our life. But to have, you know, a community of people who are kindred souls, who are actually have a sincerity and have a desire to be authentic and to be true to who they are and who are on a conscious journey is such a gift in life. And that is a hand of God for sure. For me,
Yeah,
it is.
I totally agree. And I'm a strong believer also in that, there's a saying, you can't love someone until you love yourself.
Absolutely.
But I think there's a precursor even to that. I don't think that we can love ourselves until we are loved by someone else. That allows us to feel lovable. And as we are lovable, then we are able to love. So that Sangha, it's through Sangha and through the like-hearted and like-minded people, and those who can allow that the love of God to flow through them, that represent love to us, then it's such a gift, because then we can feel lovable, and then we are able to love others. So it's huge what we offer to each other.
Thank you
I
for that.
wonder how much, you know, like-mindedness is a sort of requirement or,
Yeah.
yeah, a requirement of Sangha, because you mentioned like-mindedness and like-heartedness. If I think like-heartedness, I think understanding one's intentions. though intentions can manifest as different actions, in which case maybe there's some difference in mindedness, right? And I don't know, maybe it makes me think, that term I had never seen before until Swami Padmanabha's books, prasanga. There's another word in front of it, but swatya prasanga, something close to that, I think. But the association of like-minded, like-hearted individuals, as maybe a next as a further stage of sangha. Sangha, we begin with an intention, and hopefully we achieve understanding. That doesn't always come, right? That's some of the work. Can you speak to that? I don't know,
But
maybe you want to
but
speak.
it is a journey, you know. Relationships are a journey, and relationships, not every we all come from, with the different toolboxes in our humanity. And some of us have emotional, more emotional intelligence than others. Some, are have had really difficult lives and are kind of bruised from life. And how we as a group of souls can hold the brokenness, because we all have brokenness. That is the nature of this realm, too. So, how can we hold the brokenness of each one of us, the messiness of life, and still hold the center, still hold the love, still actually not be just irritated because it's not all. Perfect, because it perfect. We're on a pilgrimage, and a pilgrimage of life is it's got mountains to climb. It's got what is streams to walk over. It's got thorns on the path sometimes, and we have to actually have patience and help each other with kindness, and not in your face help each other, but actually help each other with a compassionate heart, yeah, and empathy. Then we, because we know that actually, their brokenness is our brokenness,
Exactly.
because we're all interconnected.
Exactly.
Yes.
So that's what true compassion is to hold the brokenness and hold it without judgment. Yeah. Hold it with love, and love is not love is divine love is not about
Leaving
ownership.
the
It's
burden.
about just being present for each other, and not trying to control, not trying to change. Just listen, show up and listen and be present and be accepting. And unless you see something that's totally out of the ballpark, and just say, oi. But do it with a kind heart, and and sometimes, and that's what we're learning. In our interpersonal relationships, we're learning to be attentive to each other, and attentive to the group, and mindful of how our presence affects others as well, so that we, when we show up not with a big ego, but we show up in service. And that's what Srila Prabhupada taught us, we show up in service. We meet the divine in each one of each other, and we try to just help each other to share the burden of humanity, of each other, of our own suffering. And we do it, with an open heart and kindness. And I think that goes a long way. And that's why you were saying the devotees, when you first met the devotees, the same happened to me. I just saw a golden aura around them.
Yes,
And
yes.
I just thought, who are these people? They're shining, And I thought, yeah, these guys are shining. I mean, what are they on, Only to find out they were on prasadam in the holy name, and 6 hours sleep and cold showers and the whole drama. But it was, I just thought, yeah, because they have dedicated themselves to Srila Prabhupada, to the mission. and they were conduits. They were like channels for the love of the divine was passing through them. So they showed up and
Yes.
they gave themselves, and the divine just shined because they were in the zone. Yeah. When they were in the zone. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Who were they? You know, what did they look like? What kinds of people were these? Are these devotees that you're describing?
Well, it was, you know, we were all old hippies, you know, we just kind of came off the Woodstock, you know, the whole thing. And, you know,
Was
trying
there
to
diversity?
yoga, trying to, you know, learn to meditate and all, you know, we were
You
just,
see diversity?
Prabhupada saved us, you know, he gave us a focus, he gave us something to kind of dedicate our life to. He gave us a miracle. It was a miracle that, you know, we were looking for something, some place to put our head in and to be of service and to be loved, really. And then we met Srila Prabhupada, who loved us unconditionally. With all our broken bits, he took us in and he called us his daughters, you know, and his sons. And he created a family. And that was such a huge gift for all of us, but a gift for humanity. Yeah.
Yeah, having one good family could save humanity, no?
And that doesn't mean there wasn't a shadow, too, because we own the shadow. And organizations have a shadow because organizations are a group of humans and we all got stuff. But the essence of what Srila Prabhupada brought is, and I'm not criticizing, you know, because I live outside, but you know, Prabhupada, our relationship with Prabhupada is beyond organization. Our relationship with all our gurus is beyond an organization, but an organization is a container that held us and trained us, a school where we learned how to behave and we learned how to study and we learned how to sing and, you know, and interface with society. We were trained, and that was a huge gift, a hand of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me think, you know, when is it proper to stay in school, and when is it proper in the right time to leave school behind, you know, to make this make the world our school.
It's individual. We're all on different places in the in our karmic journey. We all have, you know, so you have to get, you know, I it's individual in my understanding.
Yeah.
We all have a relationship with the mystery and we have to listen and we'll be told when, you know, or we'll be kicked out or
Not so
something.
much. It doesn't seem like it's so much about leaving the school behind, but how do we go? How do we move forward? And
Okay.
taking it with us. We never have
Sure.
to. We never have to
Sure.
leave things behind, but always how to integrate it in a way that moves with us in a productive and evolutionary way. For some, that
Sure.
might mean staying within the walls. For some, that might mean going outside the walls. But whatever,
Sure.
you know. Like in the beginning of radical personalism, the questions of do I stay or do I go? The most important part of those questions are, like you mentioned earlier, Manjuali, why do I stay and why would I go?
Yeah.
Some who go might have better reasons for those that stay. You know, so it's again, it's how we approach anything that we do, no matter what it is that we choose to do. It's what's behind it and what's the reason we go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And how that, like you're saying, how that evolves for us over time. Our theology evolves for us individually over time. I like to counterbalance that with something I took from Richard Rohr and Swami Padmanabha, which is our anthropology evolves over time, how we
It
conceive of ourselves as humans, as people. That also changes.
Yeah,
I think the
absolutely.
quote is something like, I'll just say this, I think the quote from Richard Rohr is something like, it's not the theology that's always the problem, but it's a bad anthropology. It's a bad understanding of what man or humankind is that can get in the way of the garden of beautiful things that might come from a theology.
And that's again discerning. We have to actually listen to our own inner guide. Our Theta Guru is such an important part of our whole mix of humanity, you know, of our whole system is our Theta Guru, and we have to actually and that's been so helpful for me, just to actually make friends with the inner guru, the intuitive guru, who is our inner guide, who's always available, and who actually has our best interest at heart, I believe. So that is, yeah, that is. But actually, do we go? Do we stay? What do we, you know? We have to listen and choose for ourselves at any particular time, under the direction of our inner guru and those who care about us if we're making big changes in our lives. But and just being mindful that everything is change. We are always changing.
Oh, yeah.
And sometimes they're big changes and sometimes they're little changes, but nothing is static. So, just like start coming and speaking today, you know, it's so easy just to say no and I'll just read my books. But actually, I had to step up today because I, because Srila Prabhupada told me not to be a miser and share, but also. So that was running in the background, but also because I feel that, yeah, if we're going to be part of a group, then it's important that we show up and share and learn and have the courage to do so. Because it's so easy to say, no, it's out of my comfort zone, I can't do this. And then who is the loser? We are, because we haven't met the challenge, you know. And Srila Prabhupada, when we look at him, we look at the whole Gaudiya lineage, we see that they all, in their own ways, always had to meet challenges, and that we grow through challenge. So, you know, yeah. So that's why I'm really pleased you asked me to come and speak with you today, because yeah, it's an opportunity to
Back
grow.
to your
Really
answer.
glad I found a way to make it so that we could that you would be able to come to this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't write a whole hour presentation and no.
Well, we kind of came up with, this was a very organic fruit of what our Sangha has been doing. And it's a, I think I love it. I love the idea of bringing live dynamic conversation. It's nice to be able to present something that's very refined. You've done some work and, you give this whole complete offering, quote unquote, complete offering. But then we come to find, when is it really complete, I guess? And this live dynamic active dialogue very much embodies that.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Yugo Kishore. I really appreciate that too. That whole idea of, you know, the spontaneity is important as well as the, you know, the planning and all the slogans all lined up to deliver a piece of academic research or something. But today you've just, yeah, we just share from the heart and hopefully it's useful. Yeah. The hand of the Lord. You can't go wrong with the hand of the Lord.
Yes, thanks, my mother.
The hands.
I actually thought of that. Well, I see Bhakti Ross is, wants to open it up for questions, but
Okay.
I can't help myself. Okay, let me indulge for a moment.
Indulge.
You flashed your hand, and when I saw the title, "The Hand of the Lord," it made me think of the mudras that we see our deities holding. And this is one of the mudras that Radharani holds.
Yes, she
And
does. All
yeah,
will
so
be
what is
well. All will be well, and all matter should be well. That was Julian of Norwich said that great medieval Christian mystic.
Beautiful. So yes, please, Bhakti Rasa.
So, does anyone out there have a question that's in attending here? You can raise your digital hand. I'm not sure if I should change the view or not, but let's see how this goes. Does anyone have a question that they would like to put forward?
Oh,
We have two. So we have Rasangi will be first, and then Kamaniya.
thank you so much. This was very inspiring and delicious. And I was struck by one thing you said about how to have stuff and not get stuck. I love that. I think that's so important. And it's a fine detail, but it's really, really important, right? The shift from, because we're used to no, none of that. I don't want to enjoy anything because it's going to entrap me. So many years of that. I can't even dote on my children because that will spoil them and create more attachment, like bizarro stuff. But how to really make that mental shift? It's simple, isn't it? It's just like a fine line. Well, Hiranyakashipu wanted to do everything for him. No God, me. So we know that Krishna is there. We want him to be there. And yet making that little shift as we're doing our day, from me to thee to serving seems kind of simple. It could be a very instructive thing for people, for everyone. So how to make that little shift, that little rudder-like shift that makes all the difference in the world. So could you
Yeah,
expand a little?
I think that's a great question. And one of the tasks, the things I do to make the shift, is I have pause moments throughout the day where I just pause, make the connection. Yeah. We have Gayatri time, we make the connection. But also, you just hit the pause button, make the connection, turn the name.
Yeah.
The name.
Chai.
Isn't that amazing that that could make the difference in the world?
Yeah.
Just
Just
that
hit the pause button, make heaven, earth, heart. Thank
just
you. Move.
realigning,
Realigning, constantly realigning. Yeah.
changing the vision a
Pause
little bit.
button. Turn the name. Drop it into the heart. Touch the earth. Touch the heaven.
Love it, love it, love it.
Be a conduit for love. Yeah.
Yeah, we're in some traditions we're known as the rainbow. Humanity is a rainbow. It's the bridge between.
Yeah. Between humanity or material and spiritual, there's a bridge. Yeah.
And we're to
There's the
toss that.
bridge, and that's the and sound takes us over the bridge. The most Prabhupada said sound was the most subtle in the material world and most gross in the spiritual world. So the sound takes us over the bridge,
And
the
the thing that's
rainbow.
amazing is that the
Beautiful.
rainbows are always here.
Yeah.
The rain There's like rainbows right now in this room, but we just can't see them.
Can't see it.
Just the way the sun hits, the way our angle of vision is. The
I want that buffer.
presence of rainbows is always here.
Rainbows are always here. I love rainbows. I think rainbows are, and rainbows are, if you have a little glass hanging in the window, a little crystal, and then the rainbows go all around the room too. Yeah, rainbows are cool. I'm a rainbow person. Thank you, Bhakti Ras.
What were you saying, Kishore?
Well, I could extend that, but we also have
Oh,
Kamania who had
okay.
my handwriting.
Yeah, here she is here with
Kamania
her brain
with
games.
her brain games.
Kamania, welcome, welcome. I'm so glad you're able to join us today. Please, what do you have to bring for us?
First of all, I just want to say how overjoyed I am, Bhakti Rasa, that we finally get to hear from you.
From me.
Oh, yes.
You have so much wisdom to share, and I'm really grateful to you for stepping forward and just serving. I knew you for so many years in support role, and now you're supporting but stepping forward, and it's so much needed for us women following in your footsteps. Very, very grateful to you.
Oh,
Thank you.
thank you for welcoming me and tolerating any I have a long way to go, but I really appreciate your welcoming. Thank you.
Miss you. Manjuali Prabhu, I had the incredible, great fortune just one time to sit next to you, Bhaktivedanta Vana, many years ago. It was 2012. And I didn't know who you were. I was so struck by your radiance. And I've experienced this with several of your god sisters also. And you were just emanating joy. And I never got to see you again, but here you are emanating
The
even
hand of
more.
God, the hand of God.
I hear how we're told, well, devotional service should be joyfully performed. And I so often forget the joyfully part. And here you are, 52 years later, more joyful than I knew you, or I didn't know you, than I saw you 12 years ago. So, can I do in those many, many, too many moments where I'm forgetting to serve joyfully?
Joyfully performed, Prabhupada said. Joy was in the dictionary then. And he drew joy out of us, and he still is. And that is actually his love, because yeah. Thank
Make
you for your
the hippies
make the hippies happy. Yeah, he did say
happies.
that too, didn't he? Hippies
Yeah.
happy. We were all hippies. Thank you, Kamania, for your kindness. And yeah, I mean, I used to just visit Manor just, for events. And so, yeah, I'm nothing special, but we're just all trying to help each other here. And so it's lovely to see you. And thank you for your kindness and seeing something here that, I'm just trying to be of service, and it's not, But Bhakti Rasa, as you said, it was her and Yoga Kishore whoever, invited me today. And I feel so blessed to meet you and meet all of you today and try just to share a little something that actually, the grace of my Guru Maharaj and the hope that actually, as we do our practice and as we open our hearts and as we try to accept, the challenges we all have, that we find the inner strength and the hand of the Lord to help us. And we're not alone. And sometimes spiritual life can be, we can feel like nobody understands us, or we're not good enough. And we are very, very blessed to be here at this moment in time. And we have to put that blessing, take that blessing in and put it on our heads as well. Yeah. And
Hare
hold
Krishna.
it. And don't be a miser, Prabhupada told me. We have to share it. Share the love. And share the love means rainbows. Share the love means just to be in the zone, that actually we are all here by grace. And that grace is everyone's birthright.
And may I address also so what you were asking, Kamania? Okay, just a small thing that struck me when you were speaking. It's, we can't like artificially muster up joy. Oh, devotional service must be joyfully performed. Therefore, I better become joyful, or this won't be devotional service. But it's the other way around. That it's just a symptom of being in devotional service. It's a symptom of engaging. It's not that we have to be that. We have to get there to be able to offer something. But whatever we do, with the consciousness, it's a matter of, again, drawing in and being present to what it is that I'm doing. What is the opportunity? What is present here that I have the ability to connect with? Who am I and what am I doing? And when we come from that place, that we are a beloved of God, that we are amazing, and in our relationship to the self of all selves, we get the opportunity to be connected to all that there is, and I get to offer myself back to out of gratitude for what has been given to me, and naturally a joy from giving, a joy naturally arises, right? You've experienced it when you give. There's just a joy that accompanies that, but it has to be a giving, not a coercion, not a forced. If you're forced to something, your joy will immediately shut down. It won't even exist. But in giving, even just when we exchange smiles, when we give a smile to someone, there is a joy.
Yes.
And there's a joy in giving. So it just comes naturally. So allow that natural thing
Yes.
to come in the course of giving,
Extremely
not in the
helpful.
course of doing.
My endeavoring gets in the way of my joy, is what I
Can
just, realization I've just had as you were speaking.
Yes.
I just remembering when I was new to bhakti, I was actually much more joyful because I wasn't overthinking it. I was just relishing being in the association of devotees, not knowing anything. Now I only know a little bit more, but thank you. That really helped a lot. Hare Krishna.
That was really beautiful, Bhakti Rasa. Thank you for that, because it's actually giving is relationship, because in giving you're receiving. So
Exactly.
that's just opening it up, and that actually is and that receiving in giving you actually receive. So
Yeah,
I think
there's
that
no
is
difference.
because that's what relationship is, isn't it? And we're questing a relationship with the divine, which is carried in everyone. Yeah,
Definitely.
it's so beautiful. Thank you, Bhakti Rasa, for that.
Thank you for pulling that all together. Yeah, thanks. All right, does anyone else have another question or something you'd like to bring up? We have a few more moments. Well, we have eternity, but we have set aside a few more moments. And if not, that's fine as well. I'm not tech
Maybe
savvy
on
enough to
YouTube.
check YouTube. So if there's somebody's posing a question on YouTube, then we'll just answer it in the chat on YouTube later on.
Okay.
All right. Yamuna is here. Right at the
Oh,
last moment, she snuck in.
Yamuna.
About to throw
Jamuna.
the gavel down, and there she comes. Welcome,
Hi, Paul. Long time no see.
Yamuna. Yes.
So I wanted to ask about prayer and meditation, because that's something that is very dear to you. So what does that look like? How do you go about that? What I know it's very personal. Prayer is very personal. I think because of being brought up, so to speak, in the Bhakti tradition, it's like, I was kind of told, don't ask for anything, and just the prayer is the Hare Krishna mantra. And I've most probably really got the wrong end of the stick, or I was told
taught the wrong way. And so now I'm trying to bring prayer back into my life. But I'm and it has been there in bits and pieces where you call out to Krishna, and but it will be more in hard times as opposed to daily prayer, you know, prayer relationship prayer throughout the day. So I was wondering, because I'm a newbie at this, so you know, I'm wanting a little
You're in
guidance
good
and
company.
little guidance, a little insight, a little, yeah, if you
Well,
wouldn't mind.
I grew up on prayer. You know, my mother's mantra as a child was never underestimate the power of prayer.
Wow.
And that was the mantra of my childhood. And it wasn't about just rote prayers, you know, your Hail Marys and Our Fathers kind of thing, but it was taking the time to sit and just offer your heart to the divine and ask that you receive what you need to love him more dearly. So that is the prayer is not, oh, can I have some bread? But I do actually pray for, I have a list of people who are ill that I pray for. And I've been doing that for years. And the list is always changing. But, and I feel that a prayer is an intention. It's an intention that comes from the heart, through the mind to the divine, that for the highest good of this particular person, if that's ill or needs some help, that from my heart to the divine, I offer that if it's for their highest good, that the Lord might help them as well. And I do that as an act of service. My prayer life is listening. It's sitting and listening. It's not it, and prayer is very, very personal. I didn't have the prayer module. You girls, or you all had it on the retreat, but prayer for me is very personal. It's just sitting and listening and being guided by the divine and being of service to, you know, for that in some place, like I pray for the world, and I pray that and for the marginalized, and that just I just it's just an act of service, you know. We go down the street and we smile at somebody. That's an act of service. We sit in our meditation room and we just from our heart ask that, you know, for the people we're praying for, that all might be well and that they might receive what they need to meet their challenge and be able to move forward from the obstacles that are blocking them from pure love. So that is my prayer is it's a prayer of the heart for humanity, for individuals, but also that it's a time where I can sit with the divine, the master, and just be of service. Like, so prayer for me is service, as dressing a deity or making an offering. It is holding the presence with love and intention for the benefit of another and for the benefit that I receive what I need in order to fulfill my incarnational duty here and enter into that place of love and service without distraction and with purity of heart and clarity of mind. Yeah. So that's what, how I do it. And it's not, you know, it's individual. But
So
that's what I've been doing for years, you know.
you just sit in a quiet place and try to
I
connect
just in
with.
my medi room, yeah, in my meditation room. I just said, "I it's just you can do it in 5 minutes. It's not like a big to do. It's just, you know, we pray for our children. Yeah, I have a sick son. I have to put a lot of energy into holding this person in, you know, with love and healing, and I know that my prayers make a difference. Yeah.
I love the fact that you said it doesn't have to be a big deal, because then I'm like, right, I need to have a room and
No,
I need to make it
no,
into a
no.
thing and I
Forget
need a
it. You
space
can
and
go
I need
oh,
to.
when you're out in the garden. Do you know what I mean? You don't need anything. All you need is a heart and mind connection, and just send your intention out for the highest good of a particular being or yourself, and you send it without ego and ownership. You send it as an act of service, like you're offering a lotus flower. Yeah. Yeah. Hand of God.
I love it. Thank you very much. I will chew this also over with you some other time.
And I love, there's a something that Maharaj came up with one day in class. It just flowed from him spontaneously. He didn't think about it ahead of time. And I was there in the class when it came. I was like, wow. But about prayer and the magic of it is, one who teaches is a teacher. One who writes is a writer. One who prays is a prayer.
Wow, that's beautiful.
So it's prayer is a way of life. It's a way of living.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like I couldn't, but it's my, it keeps me, connected. And it gives me and it's a service. Yeah.
Yeah, and the
And
you
it
know
doesn't require a room, Jamuna.
the world is a prayer
All
room.
it requires is an open heart and a clear mind and intent.
That kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier about stuff. Thinking, oh, I can't have a devotional practice unless I have the stuff for it. Unless I have a deity, unless I have a book, unless I have a bell, unless I have an incense, unless I have an altar, unless I have a this and a that, and blah, 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 blah. Unless I wear neck beads, unless I wear a tilak. No, that's not what it takes.
It doesn't
That requires.
require any of that. All it requires is our intention, our humility, our gratitude, and showing up with our hands open. Please allow me to be of some service. Yeah.
Our friend Yugal Kishore got kicked off again. I'm checking now to see if he's.
8:30 here now.
All right. So, anything else? We're
I think.
approaching the time. Does anybody have any? Do you have any parting words, Manjueli? Would you like to sum
Well,
up?
Bhakti Rasa, I just really want to thank you for allowing me to hang out with you today and share a little bit of a few thoughts, and hopefully it'll be helpful for it's helpful for me to show up, but hopefully whatever I've shared will encourage others to on their journey as well, because we're all a group of souls endeavoring and in trying to love God, love Krishna, and we're helping each other to do that. So, by the grace of Srila Prabhupada and all our gurus, guides, and guardians, we are, trying to support each other, and that's a huge gift. And so, I really thank you, Bhakti Rasa, for your invitation and for feeling that I had something that was of any value to give, because, it's a real honor to share. And blessed. I'm blessed
Thank
to be
you.
here.
Thank you for stepping up and for being the inspiration for this new format, this new platform here. And thank you everyone for showing up here. Yamuna and Kamaniya, Balaram Shakti, Diane, those who have come and gone have to leave, and those out on YouTube, and Yugal Kishore, who has fallen off into the ether somewhere. I really appreciate all of you. Thank you so much.
Thank
And
you.
we'll see you in 2 weeks. Ravi Chambers will be joining us at that time. And Yeah, he'll be speaking about certainty, as a two-edged sword.
Interesting.
So,
Thank you.
thank you very much.